try to do something more to help with the outreach to the community in terms of what tourism can bring directly to the community. I don't know if I feel like there's always been that much in the past.
Gold Rush Alaska reality stars join Haines residents this week in a tourism community night. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. An SOS sign made out of driftwood helped direct rescue workers to a downed plane and survivors southeast of Cordova over the weekend. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued two people Sunday after receiving a report that a small plane had suffered a hard landing on Kayak Island, about 49 nautical miles southeast of Cordova. The passengers on that plane had activated their SPOT personal locator beacon, which contacted the International Emergency Rescue Coordination Center. This was the second small plane crash the Coast Guard had responded to in less than a week. During a recent visit to Southeast Alaska, Congressman Don Young told reporters that Alaska needs to improve resource development if it's going to remain healthy into the future. Young voted to support a 2012 federal budget framework drafted by Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan. The framework passed on April 15th, largely along party lines. No Democrats voted for it, and four Republicans voted against it. Young voted for it.
I think Ryan has a good footprint. I think he's beginning to show that we are serious not only about cutting spending, but hopefully through this work that we'll be able to start making dollars that make sense. I talk about dollars from resources.
One of those resources here in Southeast is timber. Young rejected the notion that Southeast timber industry is dead, but says he'd like to see it rejuvenated.
When you look at Southeast and look at the areas that were harvested, it's crucially important we have the ability to practice silviculture in those areas, as we should. If we do that, we'll have a sound timber industry in Southeast Alaska. If we continue to say, no, we can't cut old growth, nor do we want to manage the new growth, you won't have a timber industry. And we're probably the only nation in history that's gone down with an abundance of fiber that doesn't manage it. You know, Sweden outlogs us every year, and they've been doing it for thousands of years, as much as about the size of Southeast Alaska. And we sit around and say, oh, we can't do this. You know, well, that's wrong, because that is a renewable resource that we're not properly, adequately addressing.
Money from timber used to come back to some Southeast cities, where the prevalence of national forest lands took a lot of property off the tax rolls. But when the timber industry started to dry up, so did the money. The government passed a bill called the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Act, which now provides funding instead. It's up for renewal this year, and Young says it has a good chance, but that in the long run, the law is not a sustainable arrangement.
It is under attack, and we have to maintain it. But it's always ironic to me that the people that don't want a timber industry want secure rural schools. I mean, does this add up? Now, if that's the case, then that means every taxpayer in the United States should, in fact, have to pay into secure rural schools. Do they want to do that? No, they don't want to do that. That's why should we be doing that for Alaska? Why should we be doing that in Montana or Washington State or Oregon? It's not our problem. They're the ones that said no timber shall be harvested. So I'm saying, you guys want these beautiful old trees, and you don't have any stumpage fees, then we ought to take and make them pay for it.
That's the argument you make with Democratic colleagues?
Oh, yeah. And they're the ones that will talk about good education, but they don't think they ought to pay for secure rural schools, but they took away the revenue source that run the schools.
Besides timber, Young also talked oil. He says a provision to drill for domestic oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge will pass the House, but likely see problems getting through the Senate. He argues that drilling in ANWR might not bring down the price of gasoline, but it could help stabilize it. And that, he says, could help Alaska industry, including commercial fishing.
You can't raise the price of fish to the consumer quick enough to recover your oil, your price of your gasoline. So, but if you knew what that price of gasoline was going to be, there's no chance of spike in it, or diesel fuel, then you could request the price to pay for the fish.
Alaska Congressman Don Young speaking with reporters in Sitka. New degree and certificate programs are swelling the ranks of University of Alaska Southeast graduates. About 540 people received degrees during commencement ceremonies over past weeks in Sitka, Ketchikan, and Juneau. That's 42% more than last spring. UAS Chancellor John Pugh says two new offerings contribute to the increase. One is a master's degree in educational leadership.
the faculty member has gone out and worked with the school districts to bring in educational leaders either in their central office or in their schools, the principals in their school.
The one-year program combines summer study at the Juneau campus with long-distance sessions. The other new program offers an occupational endorsement in law enforcement through the Sitka campus. Pugh says it's part of a new UAS focus.
It's areas where people need post-secondary training or education, but they don't need a full degree program, whether it's an associate or a bachelor's. And they can take anywhere from, you know, 6 to 12 credit hours and receive an occupational endorsement, which enables them to work in a particular field.
The UAS Sitka campus graduated about 60 students late last month. The Ketchikan campus gave degrees or certificates to about 20 people. About 460 Juneau students graduated this year. Pugh says graduate growth is also due to the University of Alaska Scholars Program, which helps top-ranking students pay for their in-state education.
We've had a significant increase in Alaska Scholars over the last few years, and with those students staying and going through both the Associate of Arts and the Bachelor's Program, we're getting some of those increases.
So, you live in Haines. Chances are you'll be answering at least a few questions from tourists over the next few months. What is there to do here? Do I have to be on a cruise ship to get on that tour? Are there any fishing guides in town? Whether you work with tourists, are expecting out-of-town guests this summer, or just want to get to know the town you live in, there's a tourism community night in Haines Wednesday night. Haines Tourism Director Tanya Carlson, who joined the borough a couple months ago, is behind the first ever event.
This was just something that kind of developed in talking with some of the accommodations in town and some of the tour operators where they want to be able to tell their guests what to do and they don't even know what all there is out there.
Can you list at least 10 different tour operators in Haines? And do you know the faces of your neighbors behind those companies? Did you know that two new tours start this year?
So it's a chance for the tourism community to get together and learn that about each other. And for the community as a whole to learn a little bit more about tourism, but hopefully also support tourism a little bit more and get to know exactly what it does for the community.
Tourism Community Night is supposed to be fun, and everyone's invited, including the guys from Gold Rush Alaska, the reality TV show from the Discovery Channel that's filmed outside of Haines.
And then we actually have special guests of honor that night, which will be some of the guys from Gold Rush Alaska. So I think it would be really, really important for Haines to get behind the show because it'll really put us on the map. I know the most popular tour in Ketchikan is the one on the Deadliest Catch Boat. You know, people see it and they're like, oh my God, I got to go see this. This is going to be awesome. And so we just really want to get behind that show.
People from the tourism community will be able to give a short presentation on what they do in town. Food from area restaurants is offered for free, and beer and wine are for sale at the midweek event.
Really, I'm just trying to get that community feeling out there. You know, we need to be out there helping each other out just as much as, you know, everybody else. Really, I think also just outreach to the community as a whole. So over time, you know, on the posters I put around town, I put the first annual. I do hope to make this an annual event and maybe morph it over time into something more than what it'll be this year. But try to do something more to help with the outreach to the community in terms of what tourism can bring directly to the community. I don't know if I feel like there's always been that much in the past.
The Tourism Community Night is this week, which also happens to be National Tourism and Travel Week. It's Wednesday night, May 11th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. In other tourism news, Haines is looking at a cruise ship schedule a lot like last year, minus about two stops. There are ships in port every Wednesday and a few Tuesdays, with one small ship scheduled for one Thursday. Tanya Carlson is with the Haines Tourism Office.
Well, Oceania is going to make a call. It'll be their first season in Alaska, and so they actually chose us over Skagway for one of their stops, so that was kind of nice. And then Crystal, but I'm pretty sure they've been here before, but both Crystal and Oceania are high-end ships, so it's always nice to have them stop.
Construction crews are still at work on new bathrooms at the entrance to the cruise ship dock. But as tour buses are learning procedure for picking up guests who start arriving this Friday, they're forced to work around the construction. Carlson says it should wrap up by June.
Yeah, we've been asking that question. You know, the restrooms are just about complete. They look really, really nice. Really nice. For the rest of the dock, it's going to be close. It may not be completely finished by the time the first fast ferry comes over, but by the time our first cruise ship is in, a majority of it should be done. The lines may not be painted yet, but hopefully the parking lot will be done at least.
The first Hanes cruise ship is on Wednesday, May 25th. It's in port from 6:30 a.m. until 9 p.m. However, the Hanes Skagway fast ferry begins operation on Thursday, May 12th, with about two runs in between the two ports each day. To see the schedule or buy tickets, go to HanesSkagwayFastFerry.com. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS. Special thanks to reporters in Sitka and Juneau for their help with this report. You can listen to KHNS News anytime, online at khns.org. Copies of our past newscasts are always online.